Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Our life study today brings us to chapter 49 of Genesis and the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And here to help us open up this wonderful portion of God's revelation is Francis Ball.
I'm always glad to be here, Chris. Thank you much.
We have spent quite some time on the matter of the various blessings that Jacob has delivered to his 12 sons. These blessings are in a beautiful, poetic form. And so we're taking the time to delve into the significance of all the pictures that are portrayed here. Francis, we're going to focus again today on the particular blessing given to Judah. Here's Witness Lee.
In the New Testament, concerning Christ, you have 3 main truths. Number 1, the victory of Christ. Number 2, the kingdom of Christ. And number 3, the enjoyment and rest in Christ. As the New Testament is the full harvest of the seed sown in Genesis, so we must find out where are these seeds. You come to chapter 49, verses 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. In these 5 verses, you have the seed of Christ's victory, the seed of Christ's kingdom, the seed of the enjoyment and rest in Christ. Here, Jacob, in his prophecy, beckoned Judah to lion in 3 categories. A young lion, and a lion, and a lioness. The young lion is for fighting, for getting the prey. When Christ came to this earth, and when he was going on to the cross, he was a young lion. And surely he got the prey. He got the world as his prey. He got all the sinners as his prey. He got Satan as his prey. From his prey he was gone up. Up where? Up to the third heaven. Even Ephesians 4 says, when he ascended, he led a train of vanquished foes. He got the victory. He ascended to the heavens. He was the young lion. Then he is a couching lion. A lion that has enjoyed the prey and has got the satisfaction. This describes Christ enjoying his rest in the heavens there. And Christ there in the third heavens is couching there, resting in his satisfaction. He's also likened to a lioness, as a mother to produce cubs. And hallelujah, tonight we all have to consider ourselves as cubs. I tell you, in a good sense, this is the lion country. Satan, don't come here. Amen. Here is the lion country. Amen. Everyone is a little lion. Amen. To our men, we are lambs following the lamb. But to our Satan, we are lion cubs. Many, many times, you have to tell Satan, don't touch me. Amen. My family is a lion family. Amen. This is the victory of Christ. And the victory brings in what? The kingdom. Christ ascended to the heavens, and there he has received the kingdom. If you do have the divine view, you could see the whole earth is the kingdom of Christ. Here you have the scepter, the royal, the kingly authority. Today, we are the kingdom people under the heavenly ruling of Christ. We Christians also need to learn how to exercise this authority of Christ. We don't need to pray in a begging way. We have to pray in the way exercising our authority. The kingdom means that everything has been accomplished, and every enemy has been defeated, every problem has been solved. So you have the kingdom. Eventually, shallow will come. When our king comes, he will come back as the great shallow. He will bring peace to the whole earth. But we don't need to wait for that day. We are now enjoying him as our shallow.
Francis, we know that Judah, uniquely among the 12 sons of Jacob, represents Christ, because the Bible itself identifies Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Say something more, if you would, about how the major aspects of Christ in the New Testament are foreshadowed here in Jacob's blessing to Judah.
Christ is identified as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jacob, in his prophecy, has likened Judah to a lion in three categories: a young lion, and then a couching lion. And also, he's typified here as a female lion. That young lion typifies Christ, who fought the battle at the cross to defeat Satan and also to gain the sinners as his prey. He's gained all this in this way, making it possible for every sinner to become a captive of Christ just by believing into him. What a victory that young lion won! He defeated every negative thing in the universe. Satan, sin was taken care of. And after that young lion got the prey, he became the couching lion to enjoy his prey. That is, Christ ascended to the heavens, resting there in his satisfaction. The victory was won. Christ has gained his kingdom. But also, as a lion is, Christ is seen as a mother lion producing many cubs. We believers are a lion family, and we become his kingdom.
Francis, we have a wonderful picture presented here of the young lion, which shows Christ in the aspect of the gospel, a lion capturing his prey. And this is a very marvelous illustration of what took place in the early part of this century in China. I think most American Christians are not that familiar with the extent of the Lord's move there, except, of course, I think most know that there were many valiant Western missionaries that sacrificed greatly for the gospel in the late 1800s and early 1900s. But following their work, among many of the young Chinese that received the Lord, there was a tremendous move both in the gospel and in the establishment of practical local churches. Francis, tell us some of what you have come to know about the Lord's move in China in the 1920s and 30s, particularly with Watchman Nee and his co-workers.
I would say in his late teens, he was raised up by the Lord and began seeing a lot of light, which really stirred up and surprised even the missionaries that were there in China at that time. And he's been very much into the depths of the Word of God, and also in the practical way to work out a way of helping Christians to practice their oneness. And this has been a hallmark to the whole work of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee through these 70-some years.
Well, for many Christians, this ministry has never been opened up or unveiled. And really, that's one of our primary motivations for this radio arm of Living Stream Ministry. It's our desire to present the riches of this ministry to God's people, and to many of them for the very first time. Now, we have left the lion, and we're going to consider another aspect of Jacob's word to Judah, this time regarding not a lion, but a donkey. Here's Witness Lee.
Now, we come to the point of my real burden tonight. Bind your donkey to the vine. If you read the Bible carefully, you could see donkey is a kind of transportation. Donkey in the Bible means traveling toward a goal. The labor of a donkey is to journey with certain destination, with certain goal. All the work people today are donkeys traveling, striving, laboring, journeying with a goal. Not on the world people, even all the Christians. Not one exception. Everybody is a journeying donkey. Striving, laboring with a goal. When I was young, I was striving to overcome sin with a goal that someday I'll be over sin. I was striving until one day I got vision. Divine! Divine! The living Christ, full of life. Bind your donkey to the vine. This means cease all your striving labor and rest yourself in Christ, in the living one, in the one who is full of life. He is divine. Suppose one day a brother will come to you. Daddy, you know, brother, holiness is my goal. And my destination is just the holy country. Now I am striving. I am endeavoring to reach that goal. I like to be holy. I like to be filled with holiness. I like to be in the holy country. Right, you better say that. Brother, bind your donkey to the vine. You don't need to labor. You don't need to strive to reach the goal of holiness. Christ is here. Christ is the vine. He is the source of life. He's so rich in life. Bind your donkey to him. That means cease your striving. Rest in this rich and living Christ. Cease your labor. Cease your striving. You don't need to do it because Christ has won the victory. Because the scepter, the kingship, the kingdom, all is his. Rest at him as the vine. Bind your donkey to the vine. And bind your donkey even to the choice vine. This is Hebrew poetry. Bind your donkey or your foal to the vine. Bind your colt to the choice vine. The vine is Christ. The choice vine is also Christ. Christ is not only the vine, but the top vine, the choice vine. He is the very choice source of life. We just stop our striving. Cease our labor at him and rise here.
Francis, I really appreciate this little portion of the Bible. Jacob's poetic phrase, bidding us to bind our donkey to the vine, conveys a lot of rich meaning to us, doesn't it?
This expression, bind your donkey to the vine, is another very poetic expression that's so meaningful. We ourselves are the donkey, and Christ is the vine. We are the ones, like on a journey with a destination. We may be striving to have a holy life. We may be striving to overcome our temper and so on, but all our self-effort is futile. Christ has already accomplished all this for us, the believers. To bind our donkey to the vine is just to rest in Christ's accomplished work. He's already accomplished all this goal that we're trying to reach. He accomplished it by His death, by His resurrection, and by imparting Himself into us. So, we just want to learn to enjoy Him, and like Paul, to be able to say, "For to me to live is Christ." No donkey effort can cause us to be like Christ, but to abide in Christ is to enjoy all His victory and all that He's accomplished. We can just enjoy Christ as our rest. He is our destination, so everything we need is in Him.
All of us donkeys, Francis, need to bind ourselves to this wonderful vine. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
But this is not all. Wash the garment in the wine. And wash your clothes in the blood of the grapes. In the Bible, our behavior, our daily walk, our act are likened to garments, to clothes. So to wash the garment and the clothes in the wine, the grape wine, or the grape juice, signifies to soak our behavior, to soak our daily walk in the rich enjoyment of Christ's life.
Amen.
You know the difference between grape wine and grape juice. Grape juice is for calming your thirst down. And grape wine is tearing up your excitement. Your thirst got to be quenched.
Amen.
Calm down. But your excitement got to be stirred up.
Amen.
The life of Christ, on the one hand, is likened to grape wine, stirring up our excitement. Every Christian who binds his donkey to the vine will be happy. This is the function of the grape wine. The rich Christ, on the one hand, all the time stirs up our excitement. On the other hand, always quenches our thirst. We have to soak our behavior, our daily walk, our action, all what we are. We have to soak it in the rich enjoyment of Christ's life. Our daily walk, our behavior, our act will be permeated, saturated with the full enjoyment of the riches of Christ's life. Then, lastly, transformation. Your eyes will be red, which mine, transformed by the rich life of Christ. Your appearance changed. We, the kingdom people, who enjoy Christ so much,
Amen.
We are never undernourished.
Amen.
We are fully nourished, so our eyes become red. Transformed from death to what?
Life.
And the teeth white with milk. Milk, we all know, is a kind of a nourishment, food. Teeth have two functions to receive things. The white teeth means clear, fair, sound, healthy function here. To taking God's word as our food, or to utter God's word to others as nourishment, I have the white teeth. Because I have received the nourishment of milk, so I have the proper, the sound, healthy teeth to take in the proper food and to utter the word of God to nourish others. Every healthy, sound Christian must be one that can take in God's word properly and can utter God's word richly. Now we are here, seizing our labor, resting in Christ, and enjoying all the riches of his life, either as grape wine or as grape juice. We soak our behavior, we soak wherever we are in this rich enjoyment. Then we smell like Christ. We can take in God's word as our nourishment, and we can utter God's word as others' nourishment. These all together, the enjoyment and the rest in this victorious Christ. So you can see here, you have the three main seeds sown here. The seeds of Christ's victory, the seed of Christ's kingdom, and the seed of our enjoyment and rest in Christ.
Francis, this has been a wonderful life study. Christ's victory, Christ's kingdom, and Christ is our rest. Tell us again what it is to be soaked in Christ.
To be soaked means that we just open ourselves daily. As we open the Word, as we open our hearts, we open our whole being for Him to soak into us all the divine attributes that He has, and soak our human virtues with his person and his being so that we could be the ones who are soaked in Christ.
Francis, this may sound strange, but we have to love the implication that we would be those soaked in Christ. Thank you for your fellowship today.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.